Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm going to tell you, the first thing they do when the communist starts, and this is true, it starts with infiltration of our schools, our government.
Any policies you're considering, you have to imagine that this policy would be in the hands of the worst dictator.
Liberty once taken away is rarely given back. And if it is given back, it becomes sometimes a deadly and bloody fight to get it back.
Because this is a policy that any of your top socialists would implement.
I was not proposing this to take away anyone's First Amendment right. I don't see this policy as doing that, but I recognize the concerns that have been raised and how wordsmithing the ideas could have been handled differently.
Yeah, I don't think it was so much the wordsmithing. I think it was the ideas themselves. And although I will say this, I think the citizenry was a little over the top in the socialism, communism, despots and tyrants and the blood of the patriots and the... Okay. Because, you know, here's the thing. When you talk about that stuff in the context of, well, she wants to make the policy, this is Mayor Lindsay, wants to make the policy that applies to employees about not being jerks on social media, roughly paraphrasing, to kind of apply to, at least aspirationally, to apply to city council members, you know, that's not like the beginning of tyranny. But it is a problem. I agree with the citizens. This policy was ill-conceived and should not have been brought forward, even though it was voted on 7-1 the prior time. Like, the city council put it forward 7-1, and the one, she, you know, kind of didn't really express herself at the time, but Roxanne Meese, she was, you know, she was the one who said no in the beginning, and she was the one who said that she was surprised that nobody else voted with her in the beginning.
Personally, I was rather shocked that I was the only one of the council standing up for our First Amendment rights, giving us freedom of speech. I am perfectly capable of monitoring my verbal output and do not need anyone to tell me what I may and may not say in public or on social media. The City of Milton residents elected me based on my opinions and theirs. I will not allow any other council members to vote me out of office based on my opinion, and you all should not allow this to happen to you.
Yeah, and agreed. She says, I can be removed for ethics breaches, but not for differences of opinion. I was elected in order to represent people, and look.
We are patriots, not socialist or communist, and even though sitting here, some would like that form of control over others, I cannot let this happen on my watch. I would like to encourage my fellow council members to vote no and remove it permanently.
All right. So in case you weren't with us earlier when I was explaining this, the basic gist of the policy changes were to take what's already in place for employees that they can't do or say things on social media that are going to bring disrepute to the city, violate privacy, do business of their own on city time, that kind of stuff. Okay. And also, you know, warnings that if they're going to express opinion about city matters, which they are allowed to do, that they need to do it in such a way that people don't misconstrue them as speaking for the city, right? Which is a fairly reasonable thing to expect employees to do when they're commenting on social media because, you know, just like the, you know, the average employee is not the communications director, and the reason you have a communications director is, quite frankly, to avoid the average employee saying something dumb to people like me, right? Now, I always take it very generously, and I'm not going to abuse it, but not everybody is quite that way. And so you want them to be careful because you want to protect the reputation of your entity, whether it's a county or a city or a business or a nonprofit or whatever. The problem is when she took that same policy and tried to apply it, in theory, it wouldn't have any teeth because there is no enforceability mechanism here, but to apply it aspirationally to elected officials. And even though, again, I think the kind of the over-the-top tone of some of the criticism here was unwarranted, the people who were against this policy were saying all the right things and were bringing up genuine things that they were concerned this hinted at. And, you know, though I don't often agree with Shannon Rice, and though I think she was kind of over the top in some of her comments, I think that her basic argument was right. Former city councilwoman Shannon Rice made a big show about this the other day.
Something to consider is that a tyrant will always push their agenda. And it's the duty of the patriot to stand in the way of that.
And that's exactly right. That, I don't think Heather Lindsay's a tyrant, okay? But I think the recognition that sometimes they're pushing forward with things that you do have to oppose.
I can't hardly stand some of the liberal agenda of, other parties. But if there's seven Republican members on this council and only one Democrat, and they need to use social media to crowdsource and expose situations in the city, to raise public awareness, then that's a great tool for them to use. And no matter how much I can be aggravated, we can't shut down their First Amendment. So the Constitution prohibits that. I mean, we can't do it, even if we completely disagree with them. And you never know when this council is going to shift.
And that's exactly right. You protect the rights of the minority, and in Milton, the Democrats are the minority. Okay, you protect the rights of the minority, partially because it's right to do that, and partially because you want to guard against the time when you're the minority, right? You know, it's both, and she's exactly right about this.
I spoke to a few of you before the meeting, explaining that I need for you to keep all of your rights in case I need you to use them to protect my rights. A tyrant would love for you to water down your rights and to water down your authority, because that's how they get to me. So you are the front line. You need to stand in the way of that. That's what we put you there for. I can't be at every meeting. I've got other things to do. Your job's to be here.
And that's a really observant, sort of savvy insight, that it is the free speech rights of the elected officials that are used to protect the free speech and other rights of the citizens. That the elected official is the front line against abuses by the government that the elected official shapes, right? That is what their job is there for. They're there to protect, to advance those rights. That's exactly right. So I agree with her about that, even though I think a lot of the socialism, communism, tyranny stuff is over the top in this particular case. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a second. But yeah, and by the way, it's going to lose. I mean, this lost 8-0. It advanced 7-1. It got voted on 8-0 because all the city council members represented, oh, I don't really believe in this either. And oh, I'm certainly not going to vote for this under the environment where people are saying if I do, I'm a socialist, communist, or tyrant. Candy's got traffic for you.
In Milton, this is I-10 eastbound at mile marker 32. The left lane is blocked. Now, it's blocked starting east of 87, but it's backed up past, of course, 87. So caution there. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. You know what it might be useful in this environment? It might be useful to talk about the difference between what is tolerance, what is not tolerance. And that may seem like it's not connected, but it really is. Because, for example, if you, like, let's say, to take a case that actually happened, okay? Jeff Snow and Ed Spears go and talk to this Realtors Association. I didn't find anything that they said to be particularly objectionable, but some people, even the people who didn't speak on this, really did, okay? If you want to criticize what they said, or take Jeff Snow saying that some people didn't deserve to be on the city council, which that's a perfectly normal political opinion for somebody to hold. If he says that, that's his right. And if somebody else wants to say, I don't like that view, and I don't think you should say it, that's their right. That's all tolerant. Intolerance begins when you take action against somebody, like you try to censure them, you punish them, you prohibit them, you impede them, you fine them, you jail them. Intolerance is action to thwart somebody else's speech, to thwart somebody else's behavior. If all you're doing is criticizing somebody with speech, that's tolerance, because what you're doing is persuading. And persuading is different than violating. This is something the left gets wrong so often. They think that speech is violence, and that's really misguided. Speech is respect. Speech is tolerance. Speech is saying, I'm trying to persuade you. Even if I'm doing it vehemently or rudely, I'm still speaking as opposed to pushing. And speaking and pushing are completely different categories. So here you have an idea where if the city council or the mayor or whomever wants to criticize what another city council member has said or done, perfectly appropriate. just as it is appropriate for them to say whatever they want to say in the first place. But if you're going to try to create a policy, especially one that carries consequences, which it sort of does and sort of doesn't, then now you're crossing over that line, especially when it comes to the speech rights of the elected officials. And that's kind of where this went astray. Now, Mayor Lindsay, for her part, basically said, you know, she wasn't trying to do any of this. She wasn't trying to take away anybody's rights.
I did not bring this up to keep people from expressing their views. I brought this up to encourage leaders to demonstrate and model to other people who are on social media. We can have disagreements and still treat each other with respect. We don't have to put anyone on the trash heap. No one's condemned because they disagree. That's why the First Amendment works in this country.
Correct.
I think when we can treat each other with respect, even when we disagree, that we are promoting the First Amendment. That said, obviously my effort with the social media policy didn't accomplish my goal. So I'm grateful that council is going to take the action it's going to take and that they're listening to you all.
Yeah. And again, engaging in corrective critical speech, saying we should try to be kinder, we should try to be gentler, which she does all the time, I think too much of the time, but that's something she does. That is, in fact, protecting the environment of useful, productive speech. But creating a policy, creating a written policy that says you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, there might be these consequences, well, that's where it goes astray. 721 News Radio 92.3. Oh, just as a fact matter, it might be useful for you to know that every other government locally has some kind of policy regarding employees. I think none of them have anything regarding elected officials. There was one in Escambia County for a while. In fact, if you go back, the 2009 policy in Escambia says, like, no texting, no Twitter, no social media whatsoever, no commenting on county business in any of these ways, which is kind of amazing that that was actually in place until either 2016 or 2017 it got rescinded. And, of course, you know, Doug Underhill did not obey that policy. Jeff Bergosh did not obey that policy with his blog. And it's not a policy anymore either, okay? So, but I think, you know, they were both right for saying, what? you know, we're going to talk, right? Because that's exactly what elected officials are supposed to do, just as a kind of context for what you can and what you cannot restrict if you are a city or a county government. 720, and there are some differences, too, you know, in the status of those in terms of their government existence and, like, the underlying structure of what they do. But generally speaking, that's the principle. Employees, yes. Elected officials and board appointees, no. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you loved your lawn last year, then do whatever you did last year. Simple, right? You know, it's science. You do these things, you get these results. If you hated your lawn last year, hoping it's going to be different this year, come on, you're a better scientist than that. You got to do something different. You got to run a different experiment in order to get a different outcome. You call NSEC. They'll come out and they'll make sure that your lawn is going to be healthy, lush, and keep your weeds to a minimum. They'll provide 8 annual applications, timed, programmed, and targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs based on lawn analysis, soil samples, that kind of stuff. And doing an estimate is totally free, right? There's no cost to having them come out and find out what would it take to make that beautiful lawn. Also, if you sign up today, you get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program. And that includes a soil sample and lime treatment on an average size lawn. So if you want to make a difference, make a difference, right? NSEC also now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Pay benefits are good, 401k, health insurance, advancement, opportunities for growth. You can apply at Work with NSEC. That's workwithensec.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The first of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This commandment, found in Exodus 20, is startling to most Americans. Our culture has emphasized religious tolerance to an unbiblical and unhealthy extreme. No other gods means that there is only one true God. The implication is that not every religious road leads to heaven. The Bible presents us with one God whose name is Jehovah, and he is seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is a loving, holy, powerful God who is our provider, sustainer, creator, and savior. Isaiah tells us that he is wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I urge you, take time to worship him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Hey, where's the beat? 99 red balloons go by.
News Radio 92.3, 90 today, and the airport runway lights are still not quite right, so please do check before you go to the airport to figure things out, because it's all a mess today. Everything is cascade delayed because of the problems that they were having with the landing lights last night. Candy's got traffic on the five.
And thank you for texting this in. Jackson running smoothly between 74th and New Warrington, but the county's doing a right-of-way maintenance by bush hogging in the area, so just keep that in mind. And there's another area you want to watch out for. This is I-10 eastbound in Milton at mile marker 32. The left lane is blocked. Accident is just east of 87, but it's blocked past 87. Not blocked exactly. The left lane is blocked. So very, very slow getting through that area. Be careful wherever you are. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Now David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Looks like some parents in New York City are not happy about asylum seekers being placed at schools. This is all happening because the city is out of shelter space. There's a protest set up this morning. Parents found out that asylum seekers are being placed in school gyms. The man behind ChatGPT testifying before Congress today, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, taking questions from lawmakers who are calling for regulation of AI technology over fears it could be abused. And Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin has won the 2023 George Hollis Award. It was announced Monday by Pro Football Writers of America. They give the award annually to the NFL player, coach, or staff member that overcomes the most adversity to succeed.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 728 News Radio 92.3. You know, kind of an interesting thing. You know, Governor DeSantis is getting attacked by former President Trump on everything, right? Like, even though he's not declared yet officially for president. Now, weirdly, Trump is attacking DeSantis as being too harsh on abortion. He says that that being, you know, the 6-week abortion ban is too harsh. And one of his staffers who had previously criticized DeSantis for not being pro-life enough, deleting a whole bunch of his tweets saying that. So they were attacking him from the right because they said he wasn't doing enough, even though, of course, everything that DeSantis has done on this topic has been within the law and up to the law. And of course, the still pending question of whether the amendment regarding privacy covers abortion or not, you know, to change the law, you have to go through that process. So we're working on that. But, you know, what had been an attack from the right as DeSantis is too soft on abortion is now somebody who's in the Trump camp deleting those tweets because now they're attacking him as being too harsh on abortion. Okay, what now? So the criticism and response is that, you know, and of course, what this is Trump, let's see, talking about the 6 weeks. He signed 6 weeks, and many people within the pro-life movement feel that was too harsh. Really? There are people in talking with the messengers where his interview said, he has to do what he has to do, Trump tells them. If you look at what DeSantis did, a lot of people don't even know if he knew what he was doing. Yeah, he did. But he signed 6 weeks, and many people within the pro-life movement feel that that was too harsh. Sir, who? Who in the pro-life movement thinks that's too harsh? Maybe you do. Maybe you're not, because we know you've never been a true conservative. You're a Trumpian. You're a, you know, a populist. But do you even know what the pro-life movement has advocated for historically? Because it sounds like you're confused.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's scum like cockroaches all over Washington, D.C., former President Trump's response to a special counsel report on the FBI investigation of his campaign.
The FBI relied on unconfirmed data, was susceptible to confirmation bias, and ignored evidence that didn't fit a preconceived narrative, damning conclusions of the Durham report into the origins of the FBI's crossfire hurricane probe into ties between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. At least six people are killed. Others are unaccounted for in a fire at a hostel in Wellington, New Zealand.
It could take some time to confirm the total number who've died. Fire Chief Mike Dombrowski.
Flames coming out of a building with people inside is our worst nightmare.
Police say they don't believe the fire was deliberate.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. That hostel has short and long-term customers, some placed there by government agencies. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, 75, mostly sunny right now in Pensacola. Well, just days after being awarded an $8.5 million grant from Triumph Gulf Coast, more good news for the city of Pensacola yesterday. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing that the Florida Job Growth Grant Fund will be awarding $3.9 million to the Port of Pensacola. Another big piece of the financial puzzle as the city keeps working towards the port becoming the permanent home of the American Magic Sailing Team. According to the governor's announcement, the award will fund the design, build out, and retrofit of Warehouse 10 with the American Magic in tow. That's anticipated that around 170 high-paying maritime jobs will be created. Pensacola police defending the decision of police officers in pursuing that stolen car earlier this week. That pursuit ended in the death of the 28-year-old driver.
The decision to chase is made in a matter of seconds by the officer and by the officer's supervisor. They have to consider a lot of things in that decision, mainly what the person is wanted for. And this was a forcible felony.
That's PPD's Mike Wood. Police say they saw that 2016 Mustang on Sunday. It had been stolen in an armed carjacking last week. The chase lasted about a mile. It ended with the car crashing into a building on Mobile Highway. FHP still investigating that. The Florida Highway Patrol says they're looking for the driver of a truck that hit a cyclist and fled the scene. Troopers say that happened on Massachusetts Avenue and around Armenia Drive yesterday. The truck reportedly was turning left and hit the 56-year-old cyclist, knocking them to the ground, damaging the bicycle. The truck described as orange and a tree trimming company truck. If you have information, call FHP or Crime Stoppers. Governor Ron DeSantis says public colleges and universities are not going to be allowed to use taxpayer money for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
I think it's been a distraction from the core mission of the university, and I think this is a needed corrective.
And the governor signed three bills into law yesterday limiting DEI programs and critical race theory-based curriculum. Those laws go into effect on July 1st. Well, the flurry of bill signings continues in Tallahassee, but one that won't be signed is the bill that was named after the Navarre mother that was killed after a child custody exchange in April.
I learned of the gamesmanship that can occur when these custody matters get heated. I heard of parents who were afraid to defer to a more secure location out of fear of being hauled into court and being accused of violating a court order.
Representative Joel Rudman's Cassie Carley bill would have required Florida counties to provide public space at the sheriff's office or a substation for parents to meet and exchange custody of a child. It also would have required lighting and 24/7 surveillance. The bill passed the House but never made it out of a Senate Rules Committee. Well, today's the day. The Department of Education will be meeting this morning to further that discussion about what to do with Warrington Middle School. The meeting happens at 10 a.m. We'll be following that later on this morning. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
I-10, this is eastbound, of course, in Milton. We've been on this all morning. Mile marker 32. The left lane is blocked, and that's, again, eastbound. Now, the accident is east of 87, backed up, of course, past 87. So give yourself some time. It's moving. It's just moving real slow down to one lane. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now for a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We're going to be seeing an isolated chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. 40% chance of rain with a high near 87. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. 20% chance of rain as you go into Thursday with a high near 84. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got mostly sunny skies, already 78 here in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 right now in Milton.
We're going to be seeing an isolated.
And your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kushinko with Your Money Now. Online prices fell 1.8% year over year in April, the eighth consecutive month of price declines compared to the previous year. Adobe Analytics says computers saw a significant drop, down 15.4%, followed by electronics, sporting goods, toys, and home and garden items. Appliances dropped 7.1%, the largest year-over-year drop for the category since Adobe began tracking online prices in 2014. But grocery prices rose 9.3%, and personal care product prices edged up 3%. Vodafone shares are sharply lower in London after the British telecom firm announced plans to slash a record number of jobs and forecast flat profit growth. Vodafone says it will cut 11,000 jobs over 3 years out of a total headcount of just over 100,000. Goldman Sachs has broken into the tech industry, unveiling a new AI-powered social media platform focused on competing with networking platforms like LinkedIn. On Wall Street, futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7.
Let's have a rendezvous.
This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're flying in, out of Pensacola Airport today, you might not be, or just pay attention because there's a lot of disruption there because of the electrical stuff, the apparently a fire that had to do with the lighting on the runway last night, yesterday. So, you know, a lot of delays, a lot of weird situations. So just kind of pay attention to the board and find out from your airlines what's going on. It's just a hot mess. And we don't know when it's going to be fixed either. So this could be again tonight as far as we know at the moment. But they're working on it. Chip Simmons is the sheriff of Escambia County. He always joins us this time on a Tuesday. Chip, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you? I'm just laughing. You're a hot mess. Your description of the situation.
They're trying.
He has a Marconi.
Yeah, they got they got the down escalator fixed, repaired, done. So that's good news. And then
one mess fixed, yeah, another one.
This is not a great problem. It reminds us that things work so well most of the time.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
All right. So speaking of things that don't always work so well, you guys had on Friday this is the most unfortunate name for a criminal. A guy named Dwayne Officer, Dwayne, was I guess caught as a serial burglar. Is that right?
We arrested him for a couple burglaries, and then we ended up finding out that, you know, during the investigation, find out he was responsible for dozens of burglaries. And so we ended up serving the warrants. So it drew the attention of the local media because there was just so many charges of burglary. And that's because we have so many cases, and we were able to solve all those cases. Our investigators do a really good job of keeping track of these things. And they may not make the arrest in a day, but they certainly will make the arrest eventually.
And they can connect one person to that. And what was the ballpark number? Are we talking like 10, like 50?
Yeah, I think it was over 50.
Oh my God!
And I think there may have been some that
was that. Was that the one where the Channel 3 gal was holding up the list of the ones, and it was as long as she is tall?
Yeah, I believe that was the one. I didn't watch it. Yeah.
I thought that was so hilarious. I mean, terrible, but you know, hilarious.
You have to do that.
Yeah, that's a good demonstration, right? It's longer than a CVS receipt.
Yeah, it's not as good on the radio as it is on
TV. No, it's
a
visual thing. Yeah. We also had somebody that was climbing the water tower over on the west side, and you had to Baker Act him in the end. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a little bit of disruption. We had an individual that was climbing a water tower over off of Old Corryfield Road. We don't usually talk about these sort of things, but they was taken into custody for a involuntary type of a Baker Act or an evaluation.
How is, from your perspective, I know we had a big issue with the hospitals and intake for Baker Acts, especially for juveniles, right? That has been one of the problems. But is that system, from your perspective, at the moment working? There are adequate facilities. You're not having to, I don't know, is that from law enforcement's perspective?
It's working. I still don't think we have quite enough beds. There are many times when they let us know that they are filled. But I think that they're trying. I think that Baptist Hospital and West Florida has continued to accept adults into their facility. So, and I also think that there are there's a plan to have
a primary intake facility.
A little bit Lakeview.
Okay.
And so they're working on that.
Okay. It was something we had talked about a bunch a few months ago when it was kind of a story, and then sometimes we forget about these things. So that's why I wanted to ask again to find out kind of where we stand now. We also had a Family Dollar story where she claimed that she got robbed by somebody impersonating a cop, and it turns out not quite to be that.
Yeah, I don't want to give, the bad guys any advice, but if you're going to claim that someone impersonating a police officer committed a crime, you need to know that we take that stuff obviously very serious.
Right.
And if we hear that someone's impersonating a deputy or a police officer, we're on that pretty hot and heavy because we understand what the implications could be. This lady decides that she's going to report that a person impersonating a cop has stolen like $4,500 from her.
Deposits, right?
For the
company.
Dollar, right.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting permission to search her and her bag, and lo and behold, the money that she says was stolen by someone impersonating a law enforcement officer was in her car all along. So we ended up charging her with that with the theft of the bags. Well,
it's a common thing. I mean, you misidentify the sack in your car as somebody impersonating a law enforcement officer, right? I mean, it's a common problem.
All the time.
I thought I was robbed, but I had it here all along.
Yeah, but lo, it was just in my car. Uh-huh. Okay.
Maybe that's not right.
You don't let people off with a "my bad." Come on, Chip. Just kidding.
There are some bad.
We also had a bit of the sad note last week, Wednesday, Blunt and W Street. We had found a deceased person, right?
There's no suspicious circumstances involving it. No signs of foul play.
Okay.
It appears to be natural cause at this time.
And then we saw this in the and you know what? I wasn't sure if this was your incident or PPD's. I know it was an Escambia County incident, but we had a rather interesting incident between Markia Prather and William Young, allegedly, which just a different kind of a missile of a different sort.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny you say missile because there's a charge, a state statute called,
deadly missile. Yeah.
And it's when you throw something or cause something to be projected into a home or a car when someone's in it. And it's not always a missile.
Okay. You know, exactly.
In this case, yeah, it was, the people that knew each other, upset with each other. And she drives up and throws a brick at his car and his house, and he returns by throwing a brick. And
it's a brick fight.
It's a brick fight, you know, which is better than a gunfight.
That's true.
Unless you get hit in the head with a brick.
That's not good.
That's the argument there. But I again, that's kind of the unique situation that we had occur in there. But
a good note on this one to me was she drives up allegedly, throws a brick at the house, doesn't do anything, throws it again, breaks up like a lawn ornament, throws it at the car, breaks windows there. And you would think, well, now, you know, everything's fair. Well, if he responds in kind, unless you can explain that it was, like, justified self-defense, but as she's driving away, not so much, they're both wrong.
Yeah, yeah, and we talk about reasonableness and whether you can do that sort of thing. Did he feel like he was in jeopardy of any sort at the time he threw the brick?
Right.
And really, get back to what she did. I mean, the reason you throw the brick twice, I'm assuming, is that you only throw a brick for effect. you throw a brick at a window and you expect that window to break.
Right.
Window doesn't break, and it's like,
so disappointing.
I failed. I need to do that again. Can I have a do-over, as our friend here would like to?
You go to the mullet toss, and it slips out the back of your hand while you're cocking, and it doesn't work out right.
I mean, I guess you could practice before, which I'm not suggesting anyone do. That's
premeditated
a terrible
bricking.
Terrible idea.
No.
But.
Premeditated bricking. Sorry. I don't know why. I'm in that kind of a mood today. I don't know. I mean, there's serious stories. Shirt. People are going to jail, but it just, I don't know. Sometimes it just catches me off guard. Hang on for just a second, Chip. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
We're just watching one accident. This is I-10 eastbound in Milton at mile marker 32, and it is blocked. The left lane is open temporarily. They're working on that. And then Quintet and Shamukla Highway in Milton showing an accident with a possible roadblock. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Back to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Aside from all of the crime stuff, we have funding from the governor, fingers crossed, right? Because the veto pen has not been issued yet on everything, so we're still waiting to see.
Right.
But funding for ShotSpotter in a joint effort between you and the PPD City of Pensacola, right?
Yeah, early on, Mayor D.C. Reeves and I had a couple conversations about how we can partner because, again, bad guys don't care about the jurisdictional lines here. And we had discussed our effort to get a real-time crime center. And a part of that, boy, it sure could be enhanced if we had this ShotSpotter.
Mm-hmm.
And we partnered together in our local delegation, Senator Broxton and Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman all teamed up more or less on this. And we got it through the House and the Senate, and now it's just on the governor's desk. So hopefully he'll sign that, give us the $850,000 or so that we need to get 3 square miles in the county, 3 square miles in the city, incorporate that into a real-time crime center. And basically use technology to help us with our crime-fighting efforts.
And just again, for people who might not remember the conversations or hadn't didn't hear them in the past, the ShotSpotter is a way to immediately know not only that it was a bullet and as opposed to a firecracker, as opposed to a car backfire,
right. And
to have an immediate location that triggers a response from the police because you know we're going to this corner because that's where the technology picked up that something happened, right?
Right. There's two parts of it. One is the detection of the sound, and the second thing is incorporate some cameras that would be in this 3 square mile area to point in that direction. So as we talked about here many times, there are occasions when we get phone calls 30 minutes after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a shot. I thought I heard something 20 minutes ago or 30.
Right.
I didn't call. This will give us that immediate indication that a shot was fired. What if someone was hit or not? We would have to go and investigate it. But also, it'll give us the camera footage to see who was entering that area and who was leaving that area as the shot, soon after the shot went off.
I'm sitting in my house, and I hear what sounds like a gunshot.
Okay.
it's not really all that rare of a thing. Right. And I always just assume that it's fireworks. Or, you know, I live in the county. It might be somebody shooting a gun in their backyard, you know. And that, as long as the bullet doesn't leave their yard and whatever, that's legal, okay? You'd ride around, people shoot guns, okay? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to first gunshot call you immediately, call 911, call the non-emergency? What do you want me to do as a citizen?
I think if it's something that you think, oh, that's odd, you know, and I've heard the same thing. First of all, if it's the 4th of July, I don't know that,
sure.
that you know, evaluate those things. But I think that in my house, I have heard many times, I live up, you know, in Cantonment.
Yeah.
You know, I hear gunshots occasionally. But if you hear rapid fire and this and that, and you think it's something that is suspicious, we might want to check out, then, yeah, give us a call. And sometimes you can tell does it sound like it's coming from next door?
Yeah.
You know, and you can peek out and see if there's no one outside that's, you know, shooting at a snake or something.
Turn the lights off in the room first.
And give us a call and let us know. But this, the ShotSpotter system itself, again, and I want to make sure that I give the local delegation, specifically Alex Andrade, who spearheaded this thing for us, you know, the kudos for saying, hey, what do you need? And then putting this thing forward. So we hope to incorporate into our real-time crime center by the end of the year if the governor doesn't veto it, and then we can go from there.
And again, that will be for certain areas. Everybody else will be no change. Still report if you're here because it's not going to have that system. Right. Last thing, best story of the week, Buster the Beagle. New puppy.
Well, I mean, he has to earn his keep.
Okay.
You know, we do have him. He's still a little bit of a puppy, as you've seen on our Facebook page. We have a new dog.
Why didn't you bring him in today?
Well, he's in training.
Chip.
He's in training.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't have a leave yet. He's just started.
He's not cleared for public conversation?
He's not quite.
All right.
But he does have a badge on, and you can see the picture of him. He's a beagle. I don't know. I'm not expert in beagles. I know that they're fantastic tracking dogs. I know that we partner a lot with the Skamby County Road Prison and the Century Road Prison, and as I understand it,
it's a gaggle of beagles, right? They got the bloodhound and the beagles, right?
I don't know what they call them. I just call them a bunch of dogs.
It's fun to watch them bounding across the field looking for the bad guy. Yeah. It's great.
Well, they're not as intimidating, but man, they are relentless.
Oh yeah, very effective. Yeah.
In fact, we've used them several times, and we hope to use Buster, you know, to look for gun residue and that sort of thing, and bad guys. So I'm sure you'll be hearing about Buster in the future.
Very good. Chip Simmons, Sheriff of Skamby County, as always, sir, thanks for the time. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe and bearing with us while I make jokes about, you know, premeditated bricking, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Somebody texted and said, make sure your bricks are locked and loaded.
Yeah. No, secure them safely, right? You don't want, you know, accidental discharge. 751 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday morning at 9:30 to join me, Tasca King, and I'll show you how to navigate through the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. That's Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Escambia County is full of opportunities, and your next opportunity could be right around the corner.
On Thursday, May 18th, Escambia County is hosting a career fair from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center. This is your opportunity to speak with hiring managers and apply for your next career in person.
See our current openings and learn more at myescambia.com/careers.
We'll see you at the Escambia County Career Fair on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open. Total commitment.
Good Good morning, 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, Dr. Strangelove. I'm Andrew McKay.
it's a great movie.
Total commitment. Sap our precious bodily fluids.
I did not travel this far to dump this thing in the drink.
Slim Pickens is the best, man. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The teacher strike in California is over. Back to school today for about 35,000 students. A Virginia congressman now raising security questions after an attack in his own office. Democrat Jerry Conley says he wasn't there yesterday when police say a man beat an intern with a metal bat 2 hours into her first day on the job. The man reportedly then beat another staff member as well. And Connolly says he believes the attack was a mental health issue and not politically motivated. And apparently there's always seems to be a Taylor Swift ticket controversy.
I know.
So apparently some Taylor Swift fans say they bought tickets on StubHub for a Denver Taylor Swift concert and then found out they didn't actually have tickets. Hannah Ostertag says StubHub promised its fan protect guarantee, but every time she tried the link provided for her alternative tickets, the site was down.
That's a bummer. Yeah, I love StubHub precisely because I know it's like the real deal, right? You don't have to worry about the fake ticket problem, apparently. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:55. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Looks like there's an accident at Five Points and Pace. It's Berry Hill, Quintet, Shamukla, and it's not showing a big roadblock, but it's super slow in that area. As you can imagine, it's hard to get through that area anyway near the Publix and the CrossFit and the DG and Santa Rosa Sportsplex and all of that. And we're also watching that accident on I-10. This is I-10 eastbound at mile marker 22. It's 32. Okay. The left lane is open temporarily, but very slow going through that area. There's an accident just east of I-10 eastbound at mile marker 32, but backed up, of course, past 87 at this point. So use caution wherever you are. And certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, you have a traffic tip, 437-1620. It is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, when it comes to heating or cooling your home, you got a lot of choices for who to call for HVAC maintenance, repairs, or replacement. You want to know when you pick up the phone that you're going to get good products, good service, good prices. That's Piedmont Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now is obviously the time when you want to have your AC inspected to make sure that as it's going to be 90 today, and it's not going to start getting cooler for, you know, 5 or 6 months. You want to make sure that your AC runs well, doesn't waste energy. Look, $49 for an AC inspection in Pensacola, Fort Walton, and Panama City. And if you're in Baldwin County, they have expanded now into Baldwin County, $29. Special for you in Baldwin County, $29. The first 400 get a free Smart Care membership. So really good deals from Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. Whatever the work you need done, they will take care of it. Check them out online at Peden, PEADEN.com. So you remember Bud Light? Had a bit of a controversy with a social media influencer who, a man who pretended to be a woman. I mean, I don't know how else to say it because I know other ways to say it, but that's the accurate way to say it. Now you have an interesting problem because an ad from back in March has surfaced for Miller Lite. And the Miller Lite ad is, there's some censoring in this, okay, which I did not put in. It's because of the premise of the ad you'll hear as they go along, but here goes.
Here's a little known fact. Women were among the very first to brew beer ever. From Mesopotamia to the Middle Ages to colonial America, women were the ones doing the brewing.
What?
Centuries later, how did the industry pay homage to the founding mothers of beer? They put us in bikinis. Wow.
And they show you a bunch of, you know, bikini pictures, which, of course, we know that, you know, hot chicks have been used to sell beer since the beginning of beer ads, right? Okay, that's just the way. And she says, how dare you?
Look at this. Wild. It's time beer made it up to women. So today, Miller Lite is on a mission to clean up not just their but the whole beer industry's shit. Miller Lite has been scouring the internet for all this and buying it back so that they can turn it into good for women brewers. Literally, good How, you ask? Ladies, take it away.
So they're buying the old bikini beer posters and calendars, they say, and then they're composting them to turn them into, you know, fertilizer, dirt, in order to grow the hops, in order to give it to women brewers.
First, we turn the bad shit into compost. Then we feed compost to worms, push out beautiful fertilizer.
That good shit helps farmers grow quality hops. which has been donated to women brewers to make their own really good shit.
But there's definitely more shit out there. In your attic, in the garage, in your parents' basement, send any shit you got into Miller Lite, and they'll turn that into good shit too.
You see the premise of the ad. So it's like feminism and swearing and here's to women because without us, there'd be no beer.
So here's to women because without us, there would be no beer.
The what now? Like, so they're getting a little bit of criticism for their own version of woke beer history.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.